Morning. Nice to see you. My name's Mike, if you don't know me. The other day, Pip and I looked after some young children for the first time in a while. How old were they, Pip? Two and five. And I'd forgotten what it's like to look after 2 and 5-year-olds. It's like grief. I slept well that night. It's hard work. And it was great fun, but it was hard work. And we took them to Graves Park, to the little animal thing there, and the play park. Haven't been in the play park for a while, but the play park surround, you know, it has a gate and it has fence, and to keep the children safe within the play park, so they can enjoy playing in the play park. And all the adults are in the play park, mostly, are looking out for the children and making sure that they're safe as well. So I was looking after this little boy on the swings, and he tried to get off and almost walked, you know that thing where they almost walk in front of the swing next to them and are going to get booted by the swing next to them, and I just managed to grab him and save him. You know, you're in there and you're doing things to keep the children safe so that they can enjoy playing. Now, maybe when you come to things like this and you think, Safer Sunday, what is that? That's a bit dry, talking about safeguarding and things like that. It's a bit dry. And it is in one sense. The things, the systems we have in place, the policies we have in place, all those things, they are a bit dry. But at the heart of them, they are to enable us to be able to do the things we're called to do as a church, which is to help people encounter God. To be a safe place where people can encounter God. Just as a play park has all those things in place to enable children to be able to play and enjoy playing in safety and freedom, we as a church need to have systems in place which are dry on paper, but they create the environment in which you and I can encounter God safely, and where people who come in can encounter God safely. That is at the heart of being a safe church. That is at the heart of it. I'm going to read to you from Mark 12, 28 to 31, the greatest commandment. Very familiar words, I'm sure. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. This is Jesus debating with different people, with his disciples. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, of all the commandments, which is the most important? The most important one, answered Jesus, is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. And this verse is key to what we're talking about this morning. Can you notice in verse 31, Jesus says, singular, there is no commandment greater than these. He links the two together. Loving God and loving your neighbors yourself are linked. You don't separate them. If you're going to love God, you love your neighbor as yourself. And as we love our neighbor as ourselves, we enable people to love God. The two go together. And Jesus calls it a singular thing. There is no commandment greater than these. So our love for God is incomplete unless that spreads to loving others too. And the way that we love others can be very varied, can be lots of different ways we can love people. But in a church setting, one of the best ways we can love people is to create a space in which they encounter Jesus. A space where they are free to do that without fear of anything untoward happening towards them. Our business, if you like, as a church, is creating space for people to encounter the Holy Spirit of God. And so we will do all we can to create a space that enables that to happen, to make it a safe place for that to happen. That is loving people, isn't it? That's loving people well, creating a space where people can encounter the power of God and they can have him transform their lives and change their lives. We believe in the full gospel, that God loves people as they are, but as they come into presence, into relationship with him, he loves them so much that he doesn't leave them as they are. That's the gospel we have, and that will only happen if we have a space in which people feel able to be themselves open. And churches, I think, by nature, are places where we are a little bit more vulnerable with each other. If we're going to enable God to speak to us, if we're going to able open up our hearts, if you like, we talk about that, don't we? Opening our hearts to God, then there's a vulnerability in that. And so in that place of vulnerability, we want it to be a safe place so that people can encounter God and God can do what only God can do, which is to bring healing, to bring forgiveness, and to bring transformation. One of the images that I want us to have on this is this image of a path, which is the next one, please, Dom. Dom, the next image, please. Thank you. So this image of a path, I think the goal of a church is to create a straight path so that people have a place for to encounter God, to get to God, to encounter him, to go to him. Unfortunately, sometimes we will dig holes that trip people up, and I'll talk about that in a bit. But I want that to be the image of what we are called to be. If the path is to lead to God, to enable us all and anyone who comes into this church to be able to meet with God and to encounter his transforming power, then our job is to make the path as clear and as straight as possible for people to be able to do that. So we do it by having systems in place that make sure people are safe, just like the play park has fences around it and has a gate to stop people. We have systems in place that create an environment within which people are safe. And we also do it by not digging holes and not creating tripping up places for people. And by that I mean, and it has to be said, sadly, sometimes the church, and I'm talking about the church more widely, can be a place where people experience bad things happening towards them rather than good things. And I just want to acknowledge that is sometimes, unfortunately, what has happened. And if that is you, if you've ever been hurt by church when you should have been able to come and expect that it was a place of safety and a place where you would be welcomed and you would be free to come to God, I'm sorry that that's your experience. Whether that happened here or whether that happened anywhere else, that should not be your experience in the church. Of all the places you go to, this should be a place where you feel safe to be able to encounter God and not experience things that cause you trauma or pain. And sadly, there are too many news items at the moment about where that's happened. I think, like I said, I think sometimes churches are places where a group of people that are all flawed, we all walk with a limp. We all have things in our life that still need the work of God in them. And because of that, we're a group of people where the possibility of wrong things happening can happen. We have to just acknowledge that. And that's why we have systems in place that protect the people who come, but also protect us from being people who can cause trauma in people, whether or not that's deliberate or whether or not that is accidental. That's what those systems do. Because this side of heaven, we are not perfect. This side of heaven, there is sin in our lives. And the systems that we have enable us to be people who reflect the things of heaven, reflect that safe place where people can come and encounter him. The church, you sometimes hear me talk about in Sheffield as in heaven. You know that play on the Lord's Prayer. We pray in the Lord's Prayer, don't we? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come on earth as in heaven. And that's what the people of God are called to do. The people of God are called to be people who pray in the things of heaven into the now. We talk about the now and not yet, don't we? That heaven is that place where one day, as it says in Revelation 21, there will be no more crying, no more pain, no more suffering, no more death. And we pray as followers of Jesus that we would in some way begin to reflect those truths of heaven now. That in some way people would have a foretaste of what one day will be fully realized in heaven. And one of the things I like to do is pray in Sheffield as in heaven, that this church would be a foretaste, would be a glimpse of what one day will be true in heaven. And as people of God, we are called to reflect that thing, what heaven will be like. So think about what heaven will be like. What will be in heaven? It will be a place where we are free to be in relationship with God, where nothing will come in the way of us being in relationship with God, where we'll be set free from all the things that have caused problems in our lives that sometimes make it difficult for us to find friendship and relationship with God. That's what heaven is like. And so we, in whatever way we can, as a church, as a people who are following Jesus, seek to create an environment which somehow reflects that, however limited, that truth of heaven, that it is a place where people are free to be in relationship with Jesus. And there is nothing that gets in the way of that. There's nothing that causes people to stumble. And if you like that image of the path, that there's no potholes that will cause people to trip up. Good safeguarding practices help us to realize this culture. Think about the vulnerability of the woman caught in adultery in the Bible. She was a vulnerable person. She was vulnerable by just being a woman, as you know. In those times, women weren't as highly regarded as men. And so immediately there's a vulnerability there. There's a power imbalance for that woman. And then we don't know why she ended up with the lifestyle she had, what had happened to her, whether it was her own choices, whether or not it was because of the choices of others, we don't know. It may be both. That, in one sense, doesn't matter. Whatever the reasons, she was vulnerable in that situation. And Jesus welcomed her. Jesus created an environment where her vulnerability wasn't used against her. And he challenged those who were seeking to do that. He created a space, if you like, where she was enabled to encounter him. She was enabled to receive forgiveness. She was able to receive welcome and relationship with him. That's what Jesus did for that woman. And that, if you like, is at the heart of what safeguarding is about. It's about creating those spaces that no matter what reason someone is vulnerable, and let's face it, if we're honest, all of us will be vulnerable at some point in our lives. All of us will be, because of things that happen. We seek to create the space where vulnerability cannot be taken advantage of. That's our goal as a church. There are some people who are vulnerable because of things done to them. There are some people who are vulnerable because they don't have the power that others have, like children. And there are some people who are vulnerable because of choices they have made. And this vulnerability can be taken advantage of because sin is still present in this world at the moment. So we want to create this culture that clears away obstacles for people to encounter Jesus. And Jesus modeled this loving of all, and he redressed the balance where people who were marginalized or were vulnerable were listened to and valued. And that is the heart of safeguarding for us as Christians. Loving others as we love God. Going back to that first verse, loving God and loving our neighbors ourselves. And it reflects the value of heaven. Let me say again, in heaven, there is nothing that stops us encountering God in all his fullness. There's nothing that stops us knowing we are loved by him and valued by him and important to him. There is nothing that stops us from living out the fullness of how he created each one of us to be. And the church of God is called to be a foretaste of heaven for all who come into contact with her. So we build a healthy culture in our church. And we do that by having good systems. It encourages, hopefully, our aim is to encourage honesty and openness, where each individual is respected, valued, and nurtured, where every individual is allowed to ask questions and disagree in a safe and respectful manner, and where leaders are nurturing and are nurtured. And to do this, we have to embed it within every aspect of the organisation, every aspect of our church. And I'm just going to, this is the sort of more dry bit, but it's important for you to know about the systems we have in place here at Philly, at Network Church Sheffield, and at Philadelphia. So we have trustees, we have a board who are jointly responsible for the culture of the church and the safeguarding aspects of the church, of which I sit on the board. We have people who are members of this church who are trustees, and who every meeting, we meet six times a year on average, sometimes more depending on what's happening, but we meet on those meetings. Every meeting there will be a standing item of safeguarding. How are we doing? How are we creating this culture which is enabling people to come and encounter Jesus in a safe way? And then there is a safeguarding subgroup. This is a fairly new thing. It's still being formed, but this is a group which reports to the board and, importantly, doesn't have just leaders on it and trustees. It has people like you who are part of that board who can hold to account me and can bring things that are of concern, things they've heard, to the board, and are a think tank for spotting things that maybe are being missing. And hopefully it is a safeguard against leadership as well, because it's lay people who are able to challenge and question what is going on. Then we have the Philly team. You've seen some of them this morning, leading the service. We've got a great team at Philly. I'm so thankful to God for the team that we have. And we meet every week, and we have a standing agenda item every week where we say, how are we doing? Are there anything of concerns? Have we had any conversations that we need to talk through? And you as a church need to know that anyone on the Philly team can be approached and talked to about anything that you have a concern for. And that's why I've put you and me. We all do this together. At this church, we believe in family. That's why it's important our children and young people are in today with us. We do this together. We own this together. Yes, I have a responsibility as the leader of the church. Yes, the board has a responsibility. But we all have a responsibility as family to look out for each other and to create this place that is a safe place to be. 1 Corinthians 12 talks about the people of God as a body. We all are different parts of the body with different roles to play. The key thing is we all have roles. Each of you has an important role to play in being church. And if we want our church to be a place that is safe for all, that values each person equally, we each have a role in making that happen. None of us should say, because I'm not a safeguarding lead or a church leader or a children's or youth worker, I don't have a role to play. Each of us can play a vital part. Each of us can be eyes and ears for vulnerable people and support those who may be at risk. We want to be standing with Jesus, challenging those who seek to take advantage of the woman in adultery. We want to be on the side of Jesus. We don't want to be on that ring taking advantage of the vulnerable. And we all do that together. We all call to be like him, standing next to him, challenging those who take advantage of people who are vulnerable. And we own that together. We will only do that well as a church if we own it together. So whilst talking about systems is boring, I don't really enjoy that side of my job. I know it is really, really important, because I want to lead a church. I want to be part of a church where people can come and encounter God in freedom and in safety. That is why we do this, because we believe in God and the power of God to change lives. All systems in society exist to protect us from the reality of humanity. It's true, isn't it? All systems, society, government, counselors, all those things, they exist to protect us, to create structures that protect us. The church needs these systems just as much, more than maybe most places, because we are a place where we encourage vulnerability and we encourage each other to take the risk of opening up and sharing about our lives with each other in the belief that through this God will bring healing and transformation and hope, wholeness. We absolutely believe in the power of God to change lives and to bring transformation. And we want to do all we can to protect people who seek this encounter and this transformation. And the first step for all of us is to recognize our own potential to sin and to use situations where people are vulnerable for our own gain. And like I've said, we need to recognize the truth that the church isn't immune from abuse happening and from people taking advantage of the vulnerable. We need to be a place where no stumbling block is placed before someone encountering God. Jesus is very clear about that. In Matthew, when he says in Matthew 18, whoever causes one of these, talking about children, one of these little ones who believes in me to trip up, it would be better for them to have a huge millstone hung around their neck and be drowned far out in the deep sea. It's a terrible thing for the world that people will be made to stumble. Obstacles are bound to appear and trip people up, but it will be terrible for the person who makes them come. We don't want to be those people, do we, that cause people to trip and stumble. I think Jesus is very harsh in his use of words for a deliberate reason. We do not want to be people who cause people to stumble. So this side of heaven, let's be a group of people who are humble before God, who recognize our need of him and recognize our flaws and our need for forgiveness, and recognize that good systems of safeguarding exist to protect the vulnerable and exist to protect us as a church from ever taking advantage of the vulnerable. So we will do all we can to ensure good safeguarding practices happen. And if you want to know more, please do ask. If you want to know who is on the board, who's who at the church, we are going to put up a display soon in here, but you can do that now by going to the website, ncsheffield.org. Everyone is listed there, everyone who is on the board, everyone who is a leader. You know who the people are who are responsible for making sure these things happen. And we'll do all we can to be wise through the training we do and the systems we put in place to make sure that there are clear ways for people to talk about things that concern them. And in doing this, we aim to be a place where everyone will feel welcome and where everyone, go back to the beginning, everyone will have the opportunity to encounter God, to know his love for them, and to know his transforming power in their lives. That is why we do what we do. That is our main goal as a church, to create the space where God does his thing in our lives. Going to pray, and then I don't know who I'm handing over to. Andrew, great. Father God, thank you. Thank you for who you are, that each one of us in this room can know who you are, can know your saving power in our lives. And we acknowledge before you, Lord. We humbly bow before you. We acknowledge our need of you. Father, thank you that we have family, that we have church family, a place where we can help each other become followers of you, where we can help each other encounter you and your transforming power. And I pray, Lord, that you would show us areas where we need to be better. I pray, Lord, that this church would be a place of safety for all. And Lord, we would be able to tell stories of encounter with you. And I pray for anyone who has ever been hurt by church. Lord, I ask that you would meet them in their need. And I pray that you would save us, Lord, from ever being a church that brings hurt to people, but it's always a church that helps people to come to know you and encounter you and your love. We ask this in your precious name, Jesus. Amen.